ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's one of Australia's most baffling unsolved missing persons cases. In 2007, four people, including a five-year-old girl, vanished in Western Australia amid rumours of bizarre behaviour, cults, and long-hidden secrets.
Yep, and we're trying to track them down.
I'm Dominique Bayens, and I've been investigating for the new season of Expanse, The Nan Up 4. Search Expanse on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've ever used an AI chatbot, you've probably wondered at some point who is actually in charge of it and what they would let someone do with it if the money was right. This week, we got a pretty dramatic answer when the US military came knocking on one AI company's door, and things got very messy very fast. So who does get to decide what these tools we use every day are allowed to do? My name is Ray Johnston, and welcome to Download This Show on ABC Radio National. Now joining me to unpack some of the biggest stories in tech right now and why they matter to all of us, we have Hannah Jeremiah, a digital content editor at Whistleout Singapore. Welcome, Hannah.
Thank you for having me.
And Seamus Byrne, a longtime tech reporter, now a PhD research candidate with the ARC Centre of Excellence in Automated Decision Making and Society. Welcome back, Seamus.
Good to be back.
Now, two of the biggest AI companies in the world, ChatGPT's OpenAI and Claude's Anthropic, have just taken very different positions on whether or not they will work with the US military. One said yes, one said mostly no, but the fallout, I think, could best be described as quite chaotic. Now, who can walk us through what actually happened this week between these AI companies and the US military?
Basically, Anthropic is an AI startup that's been like historically kind of working with the US Department of Defense. And the US Department of Defense wanted to make an amendment to kind of their terms and conditions of Claude. And Anthropic refused. They didn't like the sound of that. So the US military retaliated, and then Anthropic was declared a national security risk, which is not very good.
It's an incredible unfolding of events. Now, what did OpenAI have to say about this? What did ChatGPT do instead, Seamus?
Yeah, this was really fascinating because first, Sam Altman put out a statement from OpenAI in support of Anthropic and their autonomy, their option to be able to say no to changing the way their systems work. The following day, OpenAI announces that they have signed a deal with the Department of Defense, and they claimed that they had managed to keep the red lines that Anthropic had said were the reason why they had pulled out. So this really was this sort of confusing moment where it's like, hang on, are you supporting them? But now you're sweeping in very quickly because they even suggested that OpenAI was signing this deal to try to manage the temperature of the room, so to speak, and prove that actually it will be okay and that some of these companies can do it. There was a lot of talk that maybe it was that because the Secretary of Defense and the President of the United States just didn't like the head of Anthropic, Dario Amade, and maybe this was a personality clash issue. I know that a follow-up thing has come out that that people found that one of the things that Sam Altman ended up saying that they had agreed to was partly that they would simply take the word of the CAA or the different agencies involved, that they would stick to these rules, not that there was a certain line in the sand there. But then they also claimed that they would hard code it into the stack of the AI. So it really was so many different conflicting messages here. But fundamentally, there was this weird moment where Anthropic were told no, but then somehow OpenAI claims that they were told yes on almost the same grounds. And now everybody's trying to unpack exactly what it really was that's happened over the last few days.
So what exactly were those grounds? What was Anthropic holding firm on, these red lines that they didn't want to cross? Hannah?
Yeah, so Anthropic had basically just two exceptions for the US government and what they could do with Claude. They couldn't use it for mass domestic surveillance or autonomous weapons decisions without a human being in the loop.
So this seems reasonable, right?
You would think so.
Okay. So they've refused these military uses on ethical grounds. But apparently the AI was already being used by the military anyway. What was going on there? So the terms of the deal changed. Is that what's happened?
Yeah, one of the keys here was that the government was trying to say, and on its surface, it also sounds like a reasonable position for a government to take, which is that we should be allowed to use these tools for any legal purpose. That's then when the moral versus legal question comes in here, especially when we're dealing with the kind of government that the US is dealing with right now, where a company is worried about the ways in which it might be used on civilian populations, but also that specifically that their concern over autonomous weapons is just saying these tools are not ready to do this without a human in the loop yet. Is obviously, a big question of whether or not they would let it happen in future. But fundamentally, they're saying, things could go catastrophically wrong based on the way the technology works right now. But absolutely, Anthropic has been deeply embedded in the US military for quite a long time for all sorts of, analysis processes, filtering all kinds of data sources to actually help make decision-making, quickly in the field. And I think a few people have definitely felt like that the government probably leaked the information that their tools had been used in the attacks that have just taken place in the Middle East, to almost try to make Anthropic look bad if they are trying to say that we don't want to be used in the military on ethical grounds, to kind of just point out, well, you're being used there anyway. So I think that was almost a bit of this political back and forth that's happening attached to it. But fundamentally, they're being used in all sorts of ways. Again, just these are some very specific ways in which they're saying we don't want to be used this way.
And the defense being that we could, the US government could use this for any legal purpose kind of implies that surveilling American civilians or using autonomous weapons without a human in the loop, just allowing an AI to launch a missile, isn't regulated against currently. That feels like the implication that's being made here. Do we know that?
Yeah, definitely in America, one of the big issues right now that a lot of people are raising is that, of course, their Congress just has been very bad at passing any laws to do with anything related to AI, autonomous systems. I mean, of course, so many different aspects of the way in which we certainly aren't seeing many great laws here in Australia either when it comes to getting on the front foot with these sorts of technologies. And so this is that gap where there are questions about whether or not some things should be happening, but lawmakers are well behind the curve on actually representing what seems like in many respects, there'll be certain things that the public feels like should be the case, but the laws do not say they are the case.
Now, something pretty interesting happened with how the public responded to all of this news. Hannah, tell me about the cancel ChatGPT movement. What's going on there?
Yeah, so the people took to cancelling ChatGPT the only way they knew how, with their wallets. There was talk online about how people should really just be paying attention to the people that own these platforms and, cancelling their ChatGPT subscriptions and heading over to Claude instead.
And there was a big impact on Claude, wasn't there? Like, subscriptions went through the roof.
Oh, they were number one across the board.
Amazing. So at the same time, There's been some research published about AI in war game simulations. I think everyone's thinking about this now. I think it's become quite at the forefront of our minds, the fact that our large language model chatbot friend could be launching missiles, for instance. What did these simulations find, Seamus?
So it seems like one of the studies around this basically keeps finding that they, even when their fundamental instruction is to try to de-escalate a conflict, that they very often end up erring on the side of going, well, let's just go nuclear. Let's just do the big thing. And it almost reflects a weirdly similar situation. Weird as in there's the same word as involved, but it is not about actually nuclear Armageddon. But where people have been testing out AI agents, all the new OpenClaw tech, and a recent, Meta safety researcher, one of their heads of safety said, oh, go and help me sort out my emails. And the agent just decided to delete all of her emails. Oh. And she said she literally had to run over and pull the plug out of the computer to stop it from deleting her emails. And it sort of felt like a weird similarity here. And that very science fiction fear that we often have, which is, if these systems look far enough down the line, they sort of could say, well, I can calculate that the most peaceful strategy would be to blow everybody up, and therefore there is no more fighting because everybody has been blown up. That there are these very bad logic games that can take place, and these sorts of research findings point to the idea that somewhere in the system that is actually one of the conclusions that they feel like is worth pursuing.
You are listening to Download This Show on ABC Radio National. Ray Johnston here with you, and I'm joined by Seamus Byrne, longtime tech reporter, now a PhD research candidate with the ARC Centre of Excellence in Automated Decision Making and Society, and also Hannah Jeremiah, digital content editor at Whistle Out Singapore. And Meta, the company behind Facebook and Instagram, it makes AI-enabled Ray-Ban glasses that sold 7 million pairs last year alone. You have seen them even if you think you haven't. They look like regular sunnies. They can already film and photograph sometimes without people nearby realizing it. And now Meta wants to add facial recognition. So, Hannah, these glasses look like regular Ray-Bans, but what are they actually? What can they already do now?
With a few words, you can make calls, send texts, you can even live translate languages when you're abroad. And soon enough, they will be able to recognize your face. NameTag is one of a couple of options that Meta is considering when it comes to facial recognition with the glasses. It would basically use the glasses camera to identify people's faces in real time and then identify if they have a public account on a Meta site. The glaring issue here is that there's obviously 7 million pairs of glasses already out there, more coming, and a lot of people are being filmed already without their consent, with any idea that it's happening. And recently, there was a couple of Swedish newspapers that had revealed that these glasses had recorded users in intimate situations, which it sounds like a nightmare because it is. These recordings were sent to a third-party contractor in Kenya called Sama for AI training sort of thing. And the employees of this third-party company came back and said, we've seen a lot of images of people in change rooms, in intimate situations that we think that they might have been recorded without their knowledge, without their consent. This could be a real, real issue here.
Mm. And there were some internal Meta documents leaked around this story. Seamus, what did they reveal about how the company was thinking about the timing of this launch? Because it's a very good timing to bring this topic up.
Yeah, I think people really did lock in on this particular comment for an obvious reason, which was They basically said that they understand that this could be a very sensitive thing to launch, especially when it comes to privacy in public spaces, but that given how, quote, the dynamic political environment is at the moment, aka the Trump presidency and all of the chaos that that has brought into the American landscape, they feel like that it could be a good time because civil liberties groups are really busy focusing on other things. Influencers are loving these glasses. And, you know, one of the main things that these glasses are used for in terms of social media content creators is going up to people and, you know, doing things that are pranks or stunts or all these sorts of horrible ways of using it to film people without them knowing they're being filmed, to create, you know, even without all the sort of harassment related issues of having a facial recognition attached, we have this situation of the way in which they're already being used. Meta loves to say that, oh, but if you block the light, because there is a light that says whether or not the camera is currently filming. But of course, people can choose to cover that up in different ways. And Meta's response is, well, that's a breach of the terms of service. And, you know, like nobody breaches terms of service just for the sake of doing mean things to other people. So, you know, it's kind of a ridiculous response.
There's even a service where people are sending the glasses away to have the little LED light disabled so that it can film without anyone knowing and they don't have to put a little cover over it or anything like that.
There are,
if we know anything about technology, it's there's ways around everything. Yes. So these are not really safeguards. And Meta has tried going down the facial recognition path before and had to back down from it. Hannah, can you take us through what happened last time?
Yeah, of course. So Meta actually had facial recognition built into Facebook, but they shut it down in 2021.
I don't even remember this being a thing.
Neither do I. The people, they hated it. They backlashed. Yeah, they also tried to introduce this feature with the glasses and the identification earlier this year, but they pushed it to now.
And in terms of our rights with this, you know, Seamus, what is the regulatory situation looking like? I'm curious. In Australia, we are allowed to be, you know, photographed or filmed in public places. It's only when we have the reasonable expectation of privacy that we're generally not allowed to be filmed or photographed. So it doesn't feel like we have any positioning to be able to push back against this if someone does have one of these glasses in our face. Is it a little bit better overseas? Europe's usually pretty good at this stuff.
Yeah, and I think it certainly in Europe, there's definitely a lot of questions being put forward around this. And you know, Meta has done a number of pauses on the way in which they roll out these glasses and the different features available on the glasses. So it certainly feels like the kind of thing where Meta, when they first do add this, because there's no question at some point they will, even with this level of backlash with the leaks, it will definitely come to the glasses at some point. I can kind of imagine that they will launch in the US first, or potentially maybe will be one of those you know, places where we sometimes get the early adopter first run of a technology, because we have laws that are far more open when it comes to these sorts of privacy questions, because they really do sometimes choose countries where they know that the regulations are very loose on these things. They get that opportunity to both test, but also just try to start to get the public a little more used to the idea that this is coming, whether they like it or not.
Oh, gosh. I didn't even think of that, Seamus. You're so right. We are such early adopters of technology in Australia. Of course, we'd be a test bed, especially if we've got lax laws. I tell you, though, I broke my sunnies recently, and I would normally go for a classic Wayfarer-style Ray-Ban, and I looked at them and thought, I don't want anyone to think that I'm wearing those Meta glasses, and I had to choose a different pair of glasses. So you never know.
Yeah. I really wonder about the long-term brand damage as these things become more and and more common. Will it reach that point where the only people who are excited to be wearing a pair of glasses from the range of brands at the moment, I think it's Ray-Ban and Oakley, they're both owned by the same parent company, whether people will start to back away from some of these brands to be able to say, I definitely am not doing this.
Yeah. You are listening to Download This Show on ABC Radio National. Ray Johnston here with you, and I'm joined by a longtime tech reporter, now a PhD research candidate with the ARC Centre of Excellence in Automated Decision Making and Society. It's Seamus Byrne, and also digital content editor at Whistle Out Singapore, Hannah Jeremiah. And Microsoft this week tried to ban a word from its online community on Discord. They quickly discovered that you can't ban a word from the internet. It's all very funny. But let's start at the beginning. Hannah, what exactly is Discord?
It's basically like this all-in-one communication platform, I guess. And it's most commonly used in like gaming communities where just a lot of people can come together, talk about topics of interest or hobbies. You've got text channels, video chat, you know, that sort of thing.
So this was all in response to a backlash against Copilot. Seamus, for anyone who has somehow still not come across Copilot, could you quickly describe what it does?
Yeah, so Copilot is in Word, it's in Excel, it's in PowerPoint, it's in all of the usual, you know, Teams, all of the Microsoft places. It's sitting there trying to say, do you want me to help you write this letter? Do you want me to help write that email? Do you want me to summarize this very long document that you have to read? We've had the debate recently over people being forced to pay more for their annual subscription because of all the great benefits of Copilot, but then realizing you could actually opt out. So that's one of the things people might remember it from.
The word that Microsoft has tried to ban from its Discord is microslop, which is just gorgeous. Hannah, where did microslop come from? And is it a fair description of what we're looking at here?
Yeah, okay. Microslop is basically, you know, you've got Microsoft and then you've got slop, which is like AI-generated images that just, you can tell they're not real. It's low quality, kind of meaningless content. And then you've got microslop. But really just like over the last few years, Microsoft has invested so heavily in AI. And a lot of people are just kind of concerned about the direction that they're taking with all this. It's apparent that they are prioritizing the use of AI and integrating AI in every facet of Microsoft that they can, but its users don't really have that much of a choice.
So Microsoft tried to ban microslop on Discord. Things got a lot worse. Seamus, can you walk us through what happened? How do you ban the internet from saying a word? I feel like we've been through this before.
Yes.
It never works.
You know, people should look up the Streisand effect for one of those great first times when someone said, I don't want a thing on the internet. And then the internet found out that they didn't want that thing, and therefore more attention than ever was brought to the thing. So in that case, for people who don't know, it was literally a photo of Barbara Streisand's house on Google Maps. For microslop, a publication called Windows Latest was very clever and picked up on the fact that they thought this word was being filtered. And then they did manage to run this little test that actually showed that, yes, microslop was being banned on that server. And of course, what's brilliant is that as soon as they publicized the fact that this was happening, people then started to just test all the variations that they could, swapping in zeros, changing different letters, even when they realized that you could just capitalize different letters within the word and it still worked. And then new phrases like microstop no pilot.
I love nerds so much. This
so
is
just
the best.
Everybody then decided, yep, we need to pile on this and really point out that you don't get to tell us what we can't say on the internet.
Now, Microsoft does say that the ban was about spam and not about silencing criticism. Do you buy that, Hannah?
No. I think that, you know, people are just so fed up, especially with a lot of the things that AI is doing at the moment and the fact that it is just everywhere. When you're prioritizing AI integration over the stability of your own operating system and you're not considering, you know, what the people are trying to tell you, i.e., we do not want this, please take it away, you know, people are going to be fed up and they're going to tell you about it.
Now, someone did build a tool in response to all of this that I just adore. Seamus, can you tell us about this browser extension?
Yes, I don't have the name of it, but I know that apparently you can now download a browser extension that will now replace every instance of Microsoft that appears in your browser with Microslop instead. I don't think it can change their logo on the fly, but it could certainly change everything else that you're seeing.
I would love if each of you could tell me about a little bit of joy that tech has brought to your life over the last week. Do you have anything to share with me?
Yeah, so my piece of tech, it's a mobile game called Pikmin Bloom. They're just cute little quirky hybrid plant creatures that have flowers blooming out of their heads. Pikmin Bloom is basically Pokemon Go, like with the battles, but the aim of the game is really just to explore your neighborhood, plant flowers. In exchange for doing all of this, you get cute little pieces of decor, outfits for your Pikmin, and you can even get special edition Pikmin that can only be found in your neighborhood.
Oh, so lovely.
It's so nice. You get to explore your neighborhood and kind of, yeah, just connect with people around you.
What about you, Seamus? What tech brought you joy this week?
So the latest World of Warcraft expansion just launched, and so that will be bringing me joy for months to come. Shout out to my Discord server crew, the Useful Squad. That's my raiding guild.
Love it. Well, thank you for joining us. Hannah, where can people find you and your work?
You can find me on Whistle Out Singapore and Whistle Out Australia.
Too easy. And Seamus, where can people find you and your work?
I am seamusburn.me on Blue Sky, or of course at biteside.com as well.
Wonderful. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
And now some more tech news from the week that was, in case you missed it. Shoppers may soon notice prices changing a little more often at the supermarket. Retailers across Australia are beginning to install digital shelf labels, replacing traditional paper price tags with small electronic displays. The technology allows stores to update prices instantly, introducing the kind of dynamic pricing already common online, meaning the price of everyday items could shift throughout the day, depending on demand, promotions, or stock levels. New data shows Australia's car market slowing overall, but demand for electric vehicles is accelerating. Sales of electric cars surged to more than 11,000 vehicles, a record, and nearly 12% of the market, with the Tesla Model Y the top-selling EV. Petrol car sales fell sharply, while hybrids dipped after months of growth. And mining billionaire Andrew Forrest says artificial intelligence sometimes keeps him awake at night, worrying that powerful AI systems could create serious risks if they behave unpredictably. Despite the concerns, Forrest says AI is being used within Fortescue to manage complex renewable energy systems and operations, including autonomous mining equipment. And that's all for this week. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And we do love hearing all of your thoughts and your feedback. So please send them over to me at downloadthisshow@abc.net.au, or you can slide into my DMs on Instagram at Ray Johnston. I am Ray Johnston, and you've been listening to Download This Show.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.